And we're going to be reading the first 11 verses. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, "Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, This people says, the time has not come, that time that the Lord's house should be built." Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You've sown much, bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. He who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands." Some folks take up religion as a kind of insurance against hell, but are not willing to pay the premiums. Sign in a church vestibule: if you're on trial today for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Now, it's very interesting. In the book of Haggai, the dates are very specific. And we read in the second year of Darius the king, according to the Persian calendar, it was around 520 B.C., Zechariah and his prophecy begins about two months later than Haggai here. But listen to some of the other scriptures that talk about this period of time. In Ezra 4:24, we read this: "Thus the work of the house of the Lord which is at Jerusalem ceased, and it was discontinued until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia." That's from Ezra 4:24. Zechariah 1:1-3. "In the eighth month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, The Lord has been very angry with your fathers. Therefore say to them, Thus says the Lord of hosts, Return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts." Ezra chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. "Then the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophets, prophesied to the Jews who were in Jerusalem, Judah and Jerusalem, in the name of the Lord God of Israel, who was over them. So Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, rose up and began to build the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. And the prophets of God were with them, helping them. Ezra 6:14, so the elders of the Jews built, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, and they built and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel and according to the command of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. Zechariah 4:6, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. How does the word of the Lord come to us today? Well, in the same way, through God's spokesman, God's prophets. And where do we find what they say? In this book right here. Just listen to Isaiah chapter, you might want to turn to this. This is very interesting. Isaiah chapter 8, verses 19 and 20. And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards. We have a lot of that today in our society. Who whisper and mutter. Should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? No. To the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Well, what was this word that God had for the people of Israel through Haggai? Notice, please, in verse 2 of Haggai chapter 1, verse 2, notice this. This people says, not my people say, this people. This people. You see, they were not behaving as God's people should. And so God doesn't use the word my. He uses the word this. This people says. What did they say? Well, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. A Japanese proverb says this, saying it is too early makes it too late. Think about that for a minute. It is never the wrong time to do the right thing. Better to try to do something and fail in the deed than try to do nothing and always succeed. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Verse 4. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. Now it came to pass when the king was dwelling in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, this king is David, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent. Then Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. And you remember that the Lord says to David, not you, but your son Solomon. But the desire to build that house for God was in David's heart. So that before his reign ended, you know what he did? He gathered all of the material that was necessary to build the ark. All the plans, all the work crews were in place. They all knew who they were. They all knew what part of the building of the temple they had to do. They all knew. It was all prepared ahead of time. So that when Solomon came to power, all he had to do was push the button. And the whole thing began. I wonder, how important is it for you and me to build a temple? Say, temple? We don't have a temple these days. We don't? I want you to listen to these verses from the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, from the NIV. If I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of truth. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? And that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. 2 Corinthians 6:16. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Ephesians 2:21. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple unto the Lord. The time has not come. The time is that the Lord's house should be built. Listen to this little poem. Too busy to read the Bible. Too busy to wait and pray. Too busy to speak out kindly to someone by the way. Too busy to care and struggle to think of the life to come. Too busy building mansions to plan for the heavenly home. Too busy for all that is holy on earth beneath the sky. Too busy to serve the Master, but not too busy to die. Now therefore, says the Lord of hosts. It's very interesting, in the two chapters of Haggai, this short book, the term Lord of Hosts is used 19 times. Apparently, this people had forgotten that Jehovah, the I Am, the one that had been revealed to Moses as the great I am, was also the Lord of hosts. You say, hosts? What does that mean? Lord of people who give dinners? Well, yeah. But it means Lord of the hosts of heaven. More and more we are discovering how large a host that is through modern technology and Hubble telescopes and so forth. He's the Lord of that. Back in Genesis, you know, when God was creating the earth, do you remember what it says? It says, He made the stars also. That's all it says. He made the stars also. He threw them out there. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of the hosts of angels. He's the Lord of the hosts of humanity. He's the Lord of you, whether you like it or not. The Lord of hosts says, you have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Why? Because they were focusing their priority on the wrong thing. Instead of building the temple, God's temple, they were building their own temples. They were worshiping their own lives. All those other minor gods that had taken the place of the Lord of hosts in their lives and in their worship. That's who they were worshiping. When it came to choosing where they would spend their time, what they would be doing, where they would give their money, if they gave any at all, the Lord of hosts did not have first place. Preach us a sermon, preacher, but don't preach very long. Just tell the story of Christ's love, but don't condemn the wrong. Say not a thing of doctrine's faults, lest others be offended. Then they turn away from us and call us narrow-minded. Preach us a sermon, preacher, but don't preach very plain. Let others guess at what you mean. Don't ever call a name. We'll sing your praises loud and long and keep you many a day, but make it clear and you will hear, brother, be on your way. Preach us a sermon, preacher, but say nothing of our duty. Tell us all about God's grace and picture heaven's beauty. Leave out the things that we must do. We're busy making money. We haven't time. Can't spare the tenth. Won't see you in church if it's sunny. Dr. Schofield has said that a Jewish rabbi once called his attention to the meaning of the Hebrew in Psalm 139:24, and see if a grievous way be in me, and lead me in a way everlasting. That word, everlasting. The rabbi pointed out that the Hebrew meaning is not the everlasting way, but the way of everlasting things. In other words, Dr. Schofield believed that this is a prayer which says, in effect, Lord, enable me to engage in things that will last and not fritter away my time on things that are only of transitory value. When my wife and I were first married, our income was rather scarce. And so for about the first 6 months of our marriage, we didn't give anything to God, any money, because we had convinced ourselves that God wants us to be sure to pay our bills, to be, you know, a testimony to those around us that we pay our bills on time and so forth and so on. And so that had taken the priority in our lives. But you know, as the months went on, the problem didn't get any better. It began to get worse. And we were getting to the point where we didn't have enough income to pay all the bills. So one day we sat down together and we began to talk. And we began to pray. And you know what came into both of our minds at the same time? Let me read it to you. Malachi 3, verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. There he is again. If I will not open to you the windows of heaven, and pour out on you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. So we decided from that moment on, whenever our checks came in, we would immediately set aside God's portion first. So we did. We started doing that. And I'm sitting here, of course this is 41 years later, but I'm sitting here before you debt free. My sons are sitting, my sons are, went all the way through college debt free. And God has blessed us. And we have never had to be late with a bill since that time. If you were to ask me how God did it, I have no idea. I have no idea. But He did it. So, in 2 Samuel, I'm sorry, I already did that. When you're 77 years old, you get confused sometimes. Here we go. All right. So, therefore, the Lord of hosts says, consider your ways. Consider your ways. And then he says it again in verse 7. Consider your ways. Go up into the hills and bring wood and build the house that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You know, it's very interesting when the tabernacle was first built back when Israel was leaving Egypt for the promised land. While they were going through the wilderness, they built the tabernacle. And when the tabernacle was finally built, where was it placed? East of the camp? West of the camp? North? South? No. In the middle. In the middle of the camp, and each of the tribes camped around the tabernacle. The place where God's presence was the focus of that camp. It was in the center. You ever thought about that? Ever thought about that? Now, I'm not suggesting that some of you live in the wrong place. But one of the things that my wife and I decided when we were married was that we needed to live close to Cedar Croft Bible Chapel. Because that was the place where the Lord had placed us to serve the Lord. And without going into all the details, he provided us with a house 2 blocks from the chapel. It's been very, very convenient over the years. We often forget things. So we just drive 2 blocks down to the house and get it and bring it back in time. And we can invite our neighbors to the closest church to where they live. And some of them have actually come. Our life is not schizophrenic. You know, one life in the neighborhood and another life at the church. You see what Haggai is saying to the people of Israel here. You need to change your focus. You need to change your focus. When you make choices, what comes first? What comes first? I'd like you to just, in our closing moments here, listen to a number of verses in Scripture that use this term, consider. Now, there are a number of different Hebrew words that are translated in various places in Scripture as consider. Hosea chapter 7, verse 2. They do not consider, and the meaning of the word there is say to their heart, in their hearts. So they do not say to their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own deeds have surrounded them. They are before my face. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not consider. understand. Listen to this. Now you're going to have to really get your mind around this because this can be confusing. All right? This is not from the scripture. This is what someone said. If there is anything the nonconformist hates worse than a conformist, it is another nonconformist who doesn't conform to the prevailing standards of nonconformity. You see, God was challenging the Israelites here to conform. To conform to his will. To conform to his plan for their lives. To put him first. And they weren't doing it. Lamentations 3:40. Let us consider and search out our ways and turn back to the Lord. Search out. Deuteronomy 4:39. Know therefore this day and consider or turn back. Consider it in thine heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. Turn back to that thought. Consider revising your ideas about yourself. Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4. When I consider your heavens, or look at them thoughtfully, the work of your hands, the fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Consider God's dealings with you. 1 Samuel 12:24. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. Look at him thoughtfully. Consider how stupid worrying is. Matthew 6:28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider, examine carefully the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek, what's the next word? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. George Mueller, that great man of faith, he said, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. We're also to consider what meekness means. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering or looking at yourself, lest you also be tempted. Consider our responsibilities. 2 Timothy 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Consider what I say. Think about what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all these things. Consider Christ. Hebrews 3:1-2. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider, take note of, the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him who appointed him. And Hebrews 12:3, for consider, meaning ponder or analyze, him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become angry and discouraged in your souls. And finally, consider each other. Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider, take note of, one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another so that, so much the more as you see the day approaching. If absence makes the heart grow fonder, some people ought to really love their church greatly. Think about that. Where are our priorities? Consider your ways, says the Lord of hosts. Let's pray. Lord, we all realize how easy it is for false gods to cause us to consider them before we consider you. Lord, please keep us from putting you second or third or fourth or whatever it'll be. But Lord, that we might keep you first in our considerations as we go through life each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.